Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of Critical Issues, where we look at the issues today that affect our lives, and we look for solutions to bring about with these issues, sometimes referred to as problems, but every problem, as we know, has a solution. There's not a problem that exists that doesn't have a solution. Sometimes we don't look for the solution. We like to maybe just address the symptoms or just talk about the problem. This is your host today, Henry Hasib, and we're going to still be talking about the subject that we introduced a few weeks ago, the purpose of humanity. And today we're going to try to bring it down to more of an individual level to look at what is our individual purpose, which should or will take in what is the human purpose, but to just kind of bring it home a little bit here. We're going to maybe address some areas like the neighborly need or the community need. And as we did last week, we kind of talked about the religious, our religious association and our religious community that we call masjid. we kind of talked about those needs and what we need. And all of that ties in together with the human life. So when we really can't hardly talk about one, we do have to isolate the areas, but none of these areas are a complete definition of human purpose, but they can all add to making us see our life, our purpose as a human being a little bit clearer, and maybe from different perspectives. You know, a lot of time in learning, different people learn in different ways. Some people is a hand-on. Some people you can just tell. Other people, you know, they can get it even intuitively. So we got all kinds of people. So we have to bring it from all different aspects. But today we're gonna try to look at our human purpose, the purpose of the human being, individual level. And I wanted to start by just giving a simple definition of, again, human being. And most of us probably have heard these definitions, but we need to have a basis from where we are taught from today. You know, when we look at that word human being, we see that that's actually three words. It's not just one. We got hue, that when we look at hue, some say that hue is color. Some say it's the physical, it's the earth, and we know we get our color from the earth there. So hue is the physical part when we addressing the human being. So hue is physical. And then we got in that word man, a mind, as we've been taught that man means mind. So when we think of the mind, we think about the rational portion of the human being. This is what the mind do, is the thinking a portion of the human being. And then the last area of being, we look at that as the spiritual or the spirit part of the human being. So we see in this human being that we talk about, we do have three, all make up the human being. They all make up what we refer to as a human being. Because when we go lacking in any of these areas, then we know that we don't exist as a complete human being. And when we look at our society of human beings, then we see that we have people that do not show all of the characteristics of what a human, a rational, and a spirit, spiritual being is there. So I want to start off this. We'll start off with saying, Bismillahi Rahmani Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmani Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. And for those who may not know the Quranic Arabic language, that's with the name of God, merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. The praise and is due to the Lord of the systems of knowledge. All praise is due to God. Thee do we serve, and thee do we beseech for aid. Show us the straight way, the way of those whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. And this is actually a universal prayer that all people can say there once they understand the meaning. And that's one reason we repeat it in English there. Gives you English, but it's really much, much more than just the plain English when you start looking into the prayer. But we're going to talk about that human and being today that we do, so we can look at that purpose of what human life for us as individuals are. I want to start out by saying your life purpose consists of the central motivating aim of your life, the reason you get up in the mornings. Purpose can guide life decisions, influence behavior, shape goals, offer a sense of direction, and create meanings. For some people, purpose is connected to vocation, meaningful, satisfying work. For others, their purpose lies in their responsibility to their families and friends. Others seek meaning through spirituality or religious belief. Some people may find their purpose clearly expressed in all these aspects of life. Purpose will be unique for everyone. What you identify as your path may be different from others. What more, your purpose can actually shift and change throughout life in the response to evolving priorities and fluctuating of your own experience. Questions that may come up when you reflect upon your purpose in life are, who am I? Where do I belong? And when do I feel that I have fulfilled my purpose there? So these are things that if we understand as human beings, then it will make life a lot more easy, you know. And when we started this conversation, the purpose of human life, we looked at the overall purpose. We said the purpose of human life in all life, this in this universe, is to serve our Creator. But we have to break that down. That's a broad definition, because we have to ask the question, well, how do we serve our creation? So everything we know, according to the insight that we have gotten from our religious book, our Creator created to serve Him. And we serve Him because we have to ask the question, well, how can we serve God? Because when we ask these things, these type of questions out in society, we get a vast array of answers here, and sometimes they far-fetched. Some people, when you ask how do you serve God, they'll tell you, well, I give in charity. Well, is that serving God, or is that doing what you should do as a human being to please God? Which, I guess the problem with that part of it is that people think they're giving their 10% or their 2% to God, and that is not the right interpretation that I would think should go with it. But whether they're using physical money or physical self or however, a kind word or whatever to do, the overall thing is they're servant of God. So any good that you do, because we know the Creator only accepts good from his creation. So any good you do, you know you in the path of serving your Creator. And any bad that comes about that you do, that you intend, only come from yourself or the enemy of self. So I wanted to kind of lay a groundwork for us talking, because we'll be talking about this individual path of the human being. Now, one other thing I wanted to say before we open up our lines and all and get your opinion or your questions on this subject is that in Islam, we have what we call dhikr, and it's been interpreted as the remembrance of God, the remembrance of God. And in this dhikr, we do three things. We say subhanallah, we say alhamdulillah, and we say Allahu Akbar. And in these three steps, because we get in the habit of doing them and we don't think as to why we do them. Now, also, in this ritual that we do, we normally do it 33 times on each one of those saying, and then the 100 a time is Allah. So we say that, but it is also permissible to do each one 10 times, and this is what we want to give some meaning to, the 10 times that we do. And Imam Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, may Allah forgive him his sin and grant him the highest state in paradise. He taught us at one Ramadan session those things, the 10 dhikrs that we can do for that. And he took his hand, he took his right hand, and he showed the audience that he was speaking to of how the dhikr, the 10 times each, would work. And he started with his small finger. He put his thumb on the lower level of a small finger, and he began to do the dhikr on there. And also he showed us, before he went into that, he showed us how when you look at your fingers, that the lines on your fingers will go up, will go straight up from the lower, and then the second section is straight up, and the third section comes into a dome. So you got three sections of your fingers that goes up from the finger level, from the bottom level to the middle level to the top level, and that there's two. We're not going to talk about the meaning of the dome and all of that at this time, but I wanted to give you something to think about, special if you are not aware of it. But then he moved to from the little finger to the small finger, to the next finger, to the right, and he showed us that on that level, that let's start back with the first. The first level, he said, represented the physical level, the physical, this first level of going vertical. I think vertical is, no, horizontal, I think, is up. Well, vertical is up. So on this first level, it represents the physical. And the second level that's going up, the middle part, represents the rational. And the third part represent the spirituality, and he was showing us this in the aspect of the human life, as we say, the physical, the rational, and the spiritual. But he went across on this on the bottom level, and he showed us that we have the physical on the first level, and we have the physical rational when we're moving across. We have the physical rational, and then we have the physical spiritual. And he told us this. He said this, when we look at religion, religion looks at this as belief. You're trying to establish a belief, and whether that belief is based on I guess you would say, a reality of a manifestation of how you are to serve your Creator. But we do it in he also said in science they call it an hypothesis. And most of us went through the school where we had some science where we had to do hypotheses. And these hypotheses, sometimes when we tried these things, they didn't all pan out the way we thought that they should be. We were looking for results, but maybe we put too much of one chemical and not enough of another one, and we didn't get the results we wanted, so we had to start over again. And this is the way human life is. We still trying to get to that purpose of what the human life is about, the purpose of human life. So he says if we take these things and we can apply them to anything that we are doing to see if it makes sense. So on the first level, we say the physical on that small finger. The second finger is physical rational. The third finger is physical spiritual. And fourth finger is to develop a logic. You know, to show you this in the medical world, we can all relate to, we went to this through this disease just a few years ago, and it still hasn't disappeared yet. But when science is looking for a cure for a disease, they go through these same steps to do that. They look at the problem on this physical level, and they try to use their mind, the rational, to come up with a solution to the problem that they're looking at. And then as they put that problem in, they reach a level of spirituality where they think they have come to a solution. And if it doesn't, then they start over again. Maybe too much of this and not enough of that to come up with it. But once they come up with a cure for it, it may not be a perfect cure, but once they come up with a cure, then they will come up with a logic that goes with that hypothesis to do it. They'll say, well, you got to take one shot for the COVID, then you got to take a booster shot, then you got to take another shot, because as they experiment with these things, then they come into more and more knowledge. Now, the second level of this, it's called the rational level. As you go up the finger, the middle area would be the rational. So when you look at the small finger again to the left, then you would say that that's a rational physical, because now you're looking at the physical on from a rational level. First, we looked at the physical from a physical level. Now we're looking at a physical from a rational level. Then we move over to the next finger, and this is dealing with the remembrance of Allah, the dhikr to Allah that we said. And the second level is the rational level, and the second finger would be the rational, because that's what it represents, the rational level, the thinking level. And the third level would be the physical rational, mean looking back on our thinking on a spiritual level to make sure that it does not go against spirituality of men. And then when all of these things agree, then we develop a logic. Then we get to the third level, and the third level we look at as a physical spiritual level. We look at spirituality from the physical level. And the second level we look at, which is the rational level, we look at the spirituality from the rational level. Well, if you've been counting, you'll find out that there was 10, and we don't need to go to spiritual, because that is in another rim of reality, as some people say, referred to as a hereafter, heaven, the gender, or the paradise. So when we do those tens, and we can take any problem, we can take any problem that we want to solve, and we can apply this logic to that, and you should be able to come up with a solution that will work. If the physical agrees with the rational and the rational agrees with the spiritual and the spirit, and after they three agree, you come up with a logic, it should work. And man has done this over the history of time. As the human being has developed in there, we have come up with logics, and they call it a plan. When you're talking about food, it's called recipes. They say, hey, put two spoons of this ingredients and a cup of this ingredients. And that logic has been applied to, they have perfected it over time. So if you follow the recipe, you should get the results that you're looking for. But, of course, if you go and you mix up the recipe, you put the wrong ingredients, you put two cups of salt rather than two cups of sugar, then and a teaspoon of salt, I mean a teaspoon of sugar, you're not going to come out with the logic or the solution that you want to come to. I hope this is making some sense to you, because it is it's dealing with the purpose of humanity. We got to see how we can do, because we're going to have, as our scriptures say, we're going to have our trials and our tribulation. And in all religious, they recognize that we're going to have trials and tribulation. As some say, tests. We're going to have tests from our Lord, as we say in the Quran, that does man think that he can say he believe without being tested? Now, even in the test, we have to see if the situation we're dealing with, is it dealing with a test from our Creator, or is it dealing with I don't want to call it a test, but I guess we can say a test from our enemy of the human being. We have to distinguish these things, because sometimes we put things on our Creator that is really because of the deviation that we have done is the reason we get the results. And, of course, in our spiritual books, they address these issues, but a lot of times the human being get the wrong logic from it, because we know today, and I'm sure Allah, our God, our Creator, is let these things happen or allow these things to happen because so we can see. And one of the things, we go back to the basis that we have, and I guess that disagreement is in the books that we call our scripture books, our belief, and it's in our belief. We know that of the Abrahamic faith, we have the people who refer to themselves as the Jews, the followers of Moses, and we know in following what Moses brought them, they do not eat the animal that we refer to as the hog or the pig or the pork, that Jews does not eat pork. It's a well-known fact. Then we come to the people who are the followers of Christ Jesus, and we find out through that spiritual book that they have come to the conclusion that they can eat the pork. And we know in the final revelation, the Quran, Allah shows there that was a mistake in coming with that conclusion, and that you should not eat that animal that we refer to as the swine, the hog, the pig, They got many different names, the pork and all of that. And as we interact with other human beings in the society, we find out that, hey, the ones who have, in my opinion, has misinterpreted the logic because they have applied the wrong ingredients to come up with that logic, we know they make a lot of fun. Oh man, this pork is real good. You ought to try some. They'll even sometimes try to make a joke at you. Hey, try a little bit. It's really, really good. I'm sure you've had this out here to happen. And I'm saying this because in this dhikr that we just talked about that we do, the remembrance of Allah, it holds a lot of the solution. But if you apply the wrong formulas to it, you will come up with a logic that's wrong. And I use that example on the physical level to show us just in our eating habits how people have misinterpreted the logic for whatever the reason. Maybe some is innocent and it's probably a lot in there that know better, but they don't do better with it there because, you know, we've had debates with other on these things there and showed it to them, not just in our book, in the Jewish book, but we showed them these things in their book, and they still don't accept the logic that we apply. So I wanted to just set the basis in using this forum for what is the purpose of human life, what is our purpose, and to bring it down to individual because we have to deal with these things. Most of us, I'm sure, got a relatives, other people we know that is what we call a Christian. And we know that a lot of them will take pride in doing what we see as a great sin of eating an animal that's being forbidden. But we have to debate with them on these things, and sometimes we wonder why. Say, how does this person get so off? They know this. And, you know, we use different logics like the medical sciences and says that, and that's, you know, on the from one of the levels we looked at that because after we look at it as physical, maybe it do taste good like they say. But when you look at it rationally, then you say, but this is killing me. You know, you may eat poison that tastes good that would kill you. You wouldn't do that knowingly if you got the knowledge that you would do it. But there are things that brings about a more slow death that because we think they are not forbidden by our Creator, and we think that they have been made good by our Creator, because there are things that that God tells us that's good and that we can partake of. But He also gives us the laws on things that is forbidden or shouldn't be partaken of. Not that it would harm our Creator, not that it would help our Creator. He don't say these things for selfish. These are things He said to stay away from you that would help the human life be able to come more into its purpose. And we know some of the effects of coming up with logics that really is not logical, as I say, illogical to come up with these things. So I just wanted to kind of lay the foundation for us there, and we're going to take a PSA right here, and we'll come back and open up the lines, and I'd like to hear from you on this logic to see am I off course or am I on course, what you can add to this. We'll be right back after this brief PSA.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dabrita Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum, and we are back with critical issues, and we are talking about the human life, the human purpose in life there. And we started the program by saying, we have to ask the question, who am I? Where do I belong? And when do I feel that I have fulfilled the purpose in which I was created from? And we've talked a little bit about all of our purposes. When we look at humanity as a whole, we know it all fits in there. But as an individual, we have unique purposes. You know, for example, in the work field on the physical level. We may be engineers, we may be doctors, we may be lawyers, we may be mechanics, just all different things. But in the whole of the human purpose, it just shows us that we got everything that we need as a human being in order to fulfill that life of human purpose. And when we look back into the history of humanity, then we see that as we develop as a humanity, our Creator gave us more and more and more, because we can go back to the times that we didn't have doctors, but because of that need, that knowledge of medicine and all became about. There was a time that we didn't need mechanics, but there was a time in human development that came about, and our Creator brought it about and put it instilled in us at the right and proper time. We're going to go to our first caller here on Critical Issues. I think it's our brother Kareem. Assalamu alaikum. How you doing?
Welcome to the program. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Almighty God. Allah, I'm fine, and you sound in excellent spirits this morning with your commentary on dhikr. Praise be to Allah. That is excellent how you explain that and shared the wisdom and logic of Imam Muhammad concerning the practice of dhikr, remembrance. Praise be to Allah. You also mentioned we are prohibited from eating the flesh of swine. Imam Muhammad spoke with us concerning that. He said, yes, we do not eat the flesh of swine unless our lives are threatened from starvation. And if we do eat it, we don't eat it with a relish, you know, just enough to sustain your life.
Right.
He said, now, we have a strong aversion to eating pork. Especially our community, we still do not eat the flesh of swine. But the Imam mm-hmm. Muhammad, he spoke to us on a higher level concerning the prohibition of eating the flesh of swine. He had said, observe the conduct of the pig. Observe him.
Mm-hmm.
Look at his traits. He wallows in the mud to cool himself because he don't have sweat glands.
Mm-hmm.
He will eat anything. He has no discriminating taste. He will eat
mm-hmm.
anything, even his own young, even his
mm-hmm.
own feces. He does not discriminate on what he will eat. When the pig belches, it's a horrible sound.
Mm-hmm.
So Imam Muhammad said, on a higher level, we are prohibited from mimicking the behavior of the swine, a pig. We don't just eat anything. We have a selective taste. We do not wallow in filth. He said that's the higher, more advantageous lesson that Almighty
right.
God is implying to us. He said now the pig in and of himself, he's a good pig. He
mm-hmm.
does what he was created to do.
Yes,
he's a good pig.
Right.
But
yeah.
then don't. But we still do not ingest his flesh. But the higher reading is, don't mimic the behavior of
mm-hmm.
swine and pigs. I'll stop right.
right
there, my brother. Thank you, my brother. This is an excellent presentation that you're giving this morning, especially the three levels of our human growth. Thank you, my brother. As-salamu alaykum.
I appreciate that those comments and all in there, because we have to think. We have to use our thinking ability, which is, like you say, another level. We say we got the physical level, but we got to look at, even on the physical level, the rational thinking, as you was bringing out. And then we have to get to that higher level of the rational to look back at the physical from that rational point of view. And when all of these things go in there to go, when they come together and agree, you can be rest assured that you are fulfilling that purpose if you follow that logic there. And I use it quite a bit and doing the things that I like to do. And if I get off and forget it, then sometimes I find I got to go back because I done made a mistake somewhere, not even trying to make. And that's what I was saying earlier between knowing when Allah is testing you. And Allah tests you to make you better. Allah don't test you. Those tests that Allah have us to go through has advanced the humankind to the stage that we are at now. Just think a thousand years ago, a million years ago, stage that we were at, and look at the stage that we are at now. We have learned at how to go into the earth and to use and to get the minerals and all. We have learned the things that grow on the earth, what was good and what was bad for us. And as we started this program, I say we have done a great job of going back and educating even the masses, they because we got programs here that talk about the animal planet and the plant life and the fish in the sea and even the fowls in the air. But when it comes to the human being, we still got a great way to go to bring us up to the level of where we can understand ourselves like we understand the plant life, the animal's life, the fowl's life. We got more understanding of that and their nature than we have of our own nature. And when I ask people, say, tell me, what can you define, first of all, what a human being is? And I would employ our audience here to ask that question. Just say, can you tell me what a human being is? And you're going to be surprised at some of the answers that you get, and that is not something that they can readily come up and define what they believe that a human life. Now, if you don't know, as they say, where you come from, then how can you know where you're going? And as one fellow say, if you don't know where you come from and you don't know where you're going, any old road will take you there, because you just going to get on the road and go. So you don't know if you're fulfilling your purpose as a human being, or are you being deviated if you off of the route that you need to get to go to where you go, where you're trying to go to. And I want to share this with you, saying your life purpose is your contribution. So purpose, I guess we can say, what is our contribution? Because we know we are all here with a purpose to make a contribution. If we come into this life and we have not made any contribution and leave out here, then our existence will not have been fulfilled. Some people feel hesitant about pursuing their life purpose because they worry that it sounds like a self-serving or self-quest. However true, purpose is about recognizing your own gifts and using them to contribute to the world. Whether those gifts are playing a beautiful music for others to enjoy, helping friends solve a problem, or simply bringing more joy into the lives of those around you. This guy, Richard Leader, a nationally ranked coach and purpose expert, say that genuine purpose points to the end of a self-absorbing, self-serving relationship to life. When your authentic purpose becomes clear, you will be able to share it with the whole world. And, you know, we've talked about this in many things, in many ways, that when you serve others and when you begin to get joy in helping others, even if it's just advice, in which we badly need from people who got experience. Now, you know, people don't readily just give advice, and we're talking about the transition from our elderly to our younger people there. It's not being given like it used to be. I know when I was coming up, and many of you probably can relate, when you were coming up, we got advice. I mean, they didn't have to be just our parents and all. People that said, come here, son, let me tell you something. So, you know, that you doing over there, that ain't going to benefit you. That's not going to do you the good that you do. Matter of fact, that's going to hurt you, so don't do that. They'll tell you even when it came to respect. Say, son, you being disrespectful. That ain't the way your parents brought you up. But nowadays, we know that's a little bit hard to get. We're going to bring Brother Kareem back in. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Kareem.
Yes, wa alaykum, as-salam. Praise be to Almighty God. Allah, highly praised be he. his first identification of the human, he says he is creating a khalifa. That's the first identification that the Creator used in respect of the human being, a khalifa in the earth. And the khalifa is one that manages the creation and extract the best from out of the creation and utilizes it to benefit himself and others. So that's the first identification of us. Allah says, I am creating a khalifa in the earth. Not just we just sit back and just ride the earth and make no contributions, make no investigation, make no efforts in managing what Allah has created for us. The creation was created for the khalifa, for the human being, to utilize it. Matter of fact, Allah challenges us, say, try and use it all up. You can't. You can't. So in that explanation of khalifa, that is a designation that is strictly for the human being. And you are so correct. The human being has done wonders with this creation, have looked into it, extracted its benefits, and we are all better for that, for managing the creation. And Almighty God identifies for us. He says that he created jinn and men for one purpose, and that is to worship him. How do we worship him? By meeting our created purpose. By meeting our created purpose. That is the best form of worship. So we should serve each other, bring out the best in each other, encourage each other, and extract the benefits that Almighty God has placed in this creation so that it benefits all of us. That is a form of worship. Work is worship. Work is worship. The Prophet Muhammad said that. So I'll stop right there, my brother, and you're asking a question that a lot of people would need to be informed as to our created purpose. I'll stop right there, my brother. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum. Thank you for those, because that's what we should do. I had one of my younger brother used to say, and it was back in our first experience when he used to open up for the minister, we called at that time, and he would say, as steel sharpens steel, man sharpen man. So, and that's what we have to do. We have to sharp each other up to, because we want us to be the best that we can be. And this is how we can do it. And I mean, if I got a little dirt on me, then hey, help me brush it off. If you know, even if you see something in my physical, you say, hey, you got something on your eyebrow there. You look better if you get that off of there. You don't have to say those words, but, you know, you do it. We have to help each other for the better, not to make fun. But we have area code 706, 627. Welcome to the program. State your name, where you calling from.
Hey, assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. And when we reflect on our creative purpose, we know that we are the Khalifa of this trial and test that, and respite that Shaitan is having. And our job is to establish. There's 2 billion human beings who've already been made clear to the world by Allah that we are his servants. And here, this responsibility of establishing our creative purpose is on us first. And then that way, anyone else who wants to take charge of their will and join us, then, alhamdulillah, the whole universal creation is lit up, and they can see the way to do so if they want to. But we first have to do what we're supposed to do, 2 billion people. And look at all the resources Allah has given us to establish this model community on this earth and establish peace. Our job is to establish peace on this earth. And he has given us 2 billion people to work together like a solid brick wall if need be. Even Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to fight. And look at all the help he had when he went back to Mecca. Non-Muslims, people who didn't bleed in this and people who bleed into that. But because we were doing our job, establishing them anywhere he wanted to go with his guidance that he that they say that his God is giving him and us if we just want it. So our creative purpose is never going to change. We were created to be Khalifa, and this was our first job, was to prove that Shaitan, that he is not better than us. He's welcome to be equal to us and what Allah has prescribed for him in his nature. But our nature right now is Muslims, as the workers, as the believers on this earth. Our job is to establish freedom, justice, equality for all human beings who want it and fight those who don't want it if they cross that line, that thin line that's between us. So we pray Allah that it's so clear in what we're supposed to be doing, but we have to figure out why are we talking about it and still not doing anything about it with all the help that we got. 2 billion people. And everybody in the world knows us, and they hate us because we're not doing our job. Or they want to hate us, or Shaitan is trying to make them hate us. But bottom line, what Allah has given us, if it's just as small as a mustard seed, it's enough to make the other people on this earth be tolerant of us, because they know the blessing that we are responsible for freedom, justice, equality, and peace on this earth. And we also enlightening them by Allah's permission, the desire to be ready to go to the next world when we leave this one here. Amen.
Alhamdulillah. Well, that is good. And as we get into this, because this is a big subject, so we're going to be talking about it for a minute, but we're going to come to show in human purpose how we also have an adversary that tries to take us off of this natural path, as you say, Khalifa, being able to fulfill the purpose that we were created to be, that it's just not a straight road, that it's a straight road to it, but how that the road has been made crooked, the road hadn't been made crooked, but the people have been taken off of that straight path. To that, we have to, because we got to see this adversary. You got to know you got an enemy, and I think that's another problem in the world, as you were bringing up, to ask these questions as to why we got adversaries that take us off of the path. And I'm talking about humanity, the human being, take us off of the path that we were created to be on, and we think we traveling on that path. But we going west, as they say, when our intent was to go north. So we're going to get into that as we get into this. But it takes a little time to develop it, because we don't want to just talk it. We want to give some sense. That's why we talked about the physical, the rational, and the spiritual, because there's going to be different ways that people approach this. One of the equations that they say for purpose that they give, and it could be a lot, this one wouldn't be the only definition, but is the gift that you're blessed with, the passionate that you have about expressing it, and the value, those things will equal the purpose. So you take the gift, the passion, and the value. Then you'll come up with, as I say, as we develop this, we gotta talk about this adversary, but we don't want to start talking about the adversary that's an enemy to human purpose, and we know why, but we need to share why with others, because if you don't know you got one, then, as we say, if you don't know where you come from, you don't know where you're trying to go, any old road will take you there. And we don't want to follow that philosophy that any old road will take us, and that's usually to nowhere. But we're going to continue this subject, inshallah, in the next few weeks here on that. So we just ask you to kind of think about what the human purpose is from your perspective there, and how you see the human purpose. And so we can develop this logic as to how we need to go forward with it. And I do appreciate those comments, and look like we are about out of time. I appreciate everyone. We love everyone of our listening audience here. And stay tuned for our next program, which is with Brother Adam B. Yeah, and he will discuss congealed blood symbolic, symbolize a new life. So that ought to be an interesting program there. So we will see you next week here at the same time, same place, for another edition of Critical Issues. Assalamu alaikum.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is it. Imam Adam B.R. here on Money Sense on AM360 on this Thursday morning, January 18th. I want to welcome all of you to our program today. And that was an excellent presentation by Brother Henry Hasib, and we hope we can continue in that vein. So we want to talk today. Our discussion today will be Alak, congealed blood symbolizes a new life. And I was listening to a lecture by Imam Muhammad. I think it was from March 8th, 1998. It was Brain Power, Our Common Property, was the title of that lecture. And he touched on some points that I said, you know, as in all, always when you go back and review what the man gave us, we get better understandings as life goes on and we come into different circumstances. So I'm hoping that I'm perceiving this right, and hopefully, inshallah, with your input, and you can let me know where we are. So I'm gonna read from the Quran. First of all, I'm going to read from Surah to Mukminun, which is the 28th ayah of the Quran. Make sure I get this right. 23rd ayah of the Quran, the 13th and 14th. I mean, 28th Surah of the Quran, 13th and 14th ayah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ثم جعلناه نطفة في قرار مكين ثم خلقنا نطفة علقة فخلقنا العلم Alakata mud gatan fakalakana mud gata izi zaman fasawa
Because all is the Tuma and Sakna who can come akar. Watabarakan lahu atsanu kalitin. Sadakullahu adim. You know, pray Allah forgive me for a couple of errors that I made, but inshallah. And the translation that's given by Abdullah Yusuf Ali. And then he placed him as a drop of sperm in a place of rest firmly fixed. Then we made the sperm into a clot of congealed blood. Then out of that clot we made a fetus lump. Then we made out of that lump bones and clothed the bones with flesh. And then we developed out of it another creature. So blessed be Allah, the best to create. And in that ayat Allah talks about the human life. Now, I should have went back to 12, the ayat before that, where Allah says, man, we did create from a quintessence of clay. And then he goes through the steps of how that quintessence formed until a sperm dropped. Placed in a firmly fixed spot. And then that sperm became a clot of congealed blood. And then that clot of blood made a fetus lump. And then that fetus lump developed bones, and the bones were clothed with flesh. And Allah says, and thuma anshaknahu khalqan akar, then we developed it into another creation. So it talks about how man is developed and how man comes into the reality of life, right? So, and that's similar to, if you go to the Surah to Alaq, which is the first reported revelation of the Quran that the Prophet, alayhi wasalam, when he was concerned about his society, and he resigned himself to the mountain, the cave, looking for solutions. He had to separate himself from society, looking for solutions. And Allah gave, through the prophet, through the angel Jibril, Allah gave the prophet the first revelation. Ikra, read. Ikra, this is Rabbikallahi Kalak. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Kalakal insana mean alak. All right? So we know that revelation, that's standard, right? And created man from a clot of congealed blood. All right. So that was the first revelation. And man came from a humble position. That man came from that clot of congealed blood. Right. And the man went on to explain that clot might not be the best term to use. But it was a clean clot. It had to coagulate that's a medical term, had to coagulate, and it had to go into a place of rest where it can develop. And we know the development phase is what was given in Surah Manum. Right? So Allah gave those steps to the Prophet, who wasn't learning, who didn't know scripture, who had no history of being a religious man from the scripture. He didn't know the Jewish scripture. There's no report that he knew the Jewish scripture or even the Christian scripture. They said he was the Ummi prophet. Ummi, which means all he had was the education he got in his home from his mother in the community. All he had. But he did have common sense. He didn't say he was retarded. How many times have you met human beings, men or women, who weren't formally educated, but they had a lot of sense? And they were able to impart a lot of information and clues. But there was no school that can say that they produced it. In this society, especially when I was growing up, person had a college degree, all everybody gave him big props. Right? He was the professor. He was the knowledgeable one. But then again, you know, in our community, we had a way of bringing people down to earth real quick. Say, no, he's just an educated fool. He's just an educated fool. So we tended not to respect education in that regard. But the prophet was not educated in the wisdom of that day. But Allah showed him some steps that we would have to go through. His people would have to go through. Who were really out there in the desert. Very unsophisticated. Had developed a society. And their society was based on their own local norms. The society was worshiping idols, idol worshipers. And that's how they formed a society, that Arabian society. And they gave themselves importance based on that society. But the learned of the people of the learned people of the world did not give them those kind of accolades. All right, but out of that society, Allah chose one in that society and gave him education. Now, how was the Prophet given education? Did he say meet me in the cave once a week and we'll teach you? No. Allah opened the Prophet's mind by first blessing his heart. He had a good heart. And approaching him through his good heart. To me, that was the criteria that the Prophet had to have. He had to have a good heart. And then with that good heart, Allah reached his brain. Allah reached his brain and showed him in the scope of creation that the world that he lived in contained all the information he needed let's see, how did the prophet start on this? He started on this because he was concerned about what he saw in his society. He was concerned about what he saw around him, his people. And it bothered him so much that he would go away, go to the up in the cave, as we say, it's a small opening, go in the cave, and he would go there looking for solutions. And Allah showed the prophet that you have everything that you need. I just need to connect your concerns and your heart through your brain and open your eyes up to the world that I've created for you and all human beings. And in doing that, we know the history about how, as Islam took root in the areas around Mecca, and how it eventually went to all the areas of the world. All right, it showed that. So now, let's fast forward to today. And we can go back maybe 90 years from today. As this movement took root, and I say this movement because I believe that the movement began, well, the movement, I can't say began, it was a movement, it just took spans of time. It took spans of time, but it was a movement. And Allah came, I believe, to, I shouldn't say came, let me correct that. And Allah began the movement to reestablish our people. Into the annals of human history. And I mean us as African Americans. They say, oh, here we go again, Adam. We're talking about race. Islam is a universal religion, all people. And that's right, that's true. For every human being. But the prophet went to the cave of enlightenment because, and this is just me looking at as I read the history, the seerah, that his first concern was what he saw every morning when he left his house in his society. That was his first concern. He wasn't concerned about the Chinese. He wasn't concerned about the American Indian or the Indian over here. The occupants of what's now called North America, he wasn't concerned about them. He wasn't concerned about the Congolese and all the myriad of oppressed people around the world that right now. He was concerned about the society he lived in. And I have found no evidence that he stopped being concerned about what the environment he lived in. And Allah, through that concern, reached him and gave him a universal message for all people. Right? So, I, like many of you who became a Muslim when I was about 20, 21 years old, because I was concerned about my people. I wasn't concerned about the Chinese. Heck, even though I'm live in an area where there are a lot of Native Americans. Oh, I guess that's not a good thing. They weren't Americans, but they're natives to this country. I wasn't so much concerned about them. Even though I would see television shows, where on the television show they were being slaughtered. But I wasn't concerned about them. I was concerned about my people. Right? That's what I was concerned about. And like many of you. And then I came into this way of life known as Alice Lyme, which gave me a foundation to be concerned about more than me and my family or my people, right? That was, and I'm sure that's the way today is. But that does not mean I can't talk about my people. I can't still be concerned about my people. I can run around and talk about Islam is for everybody. It's a universal religion. You can't mention what we talked about that the other week. That's not the way to keep me. I'm not going to do that. And for me to want to talk about what I see and the disappointments I feel at times, if that makes you uncomfortable, then pardon me making you uncomfortable. Pardon me for that. But it makes me uncomfortable every day when I leave the house. When I go into the business, where my business is every day, and I see my people or my blood. Right? My blood, I see them. And I see the situation that they're in. That makes me uncomfortable. We're going to play the PSA right now, and then we'll come back, and I'll continue on with this discussion. Hopefully we'll get somewhere where you can understand, and feel free to press 1 and come in the queue if you have a statement or something you want to say. Say, inshallah. But anyway, we're going to be right back after this message.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain Information is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul. S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. This is Adam B. out here on Money Sense on AM360. We're talking about Alak. Congealed blood symbolizes a new life. Congealed blood symbolizes a new life. So in reading the reading from the Quran and Surah Alak, which was the 96th Surah of the Quran, Allah talks about the congealed blood. He talks about that. And then we also refer to Spiritual Book of Noon, which is the believers, where Lord talks about the steps that the new life, Kadriya blood, goes to. So the new life doesn't come into reality until the blood is gathered together and comes together. Right? That's when the new life is about to form, when it congeals. So, us as a people, in that regard, us as the people have to come together. The blood, and I hate to use the word clotting because blood clots symbolizes something is wrong. All right. But some of the blood has to be brought together and cling to a spot in the womb so that it can begin to bear this new life. So it has to come together. All right. So we as a people have to come together to form this new life that the law is designed for us to form. So much we hear people talk about, we're a community. We're a community. And that congealed blood can symbolize a community. Because in the body, the blood is, everybody has blood. Everybody can be blood brothers. Every human being on earth has to be blood, because that's our formation. But every human being, every people have an identity, and their identity, a smaller identity, could be their tribe or their race or their people, that can be a smaller identity. Right? And it also says in the Quran, he made us into tribes and nations of people. Smaller groups of people and bigger groups of people. He made us that way in order that we may know one another and not despise one another. See, despising one another is where racism comes into place. Allah did not want us to do that, but he wanted to highlight that we come from different areas of the world. We come from different concerns, different motivations, and that's all right. Just don't let those different concerns and motivations cause us to oppress one another. Like what's happening right now in occupied Palestine, which is terrible. And I'm not one to stop talking about the injustices I see, because I don't want to be banned from Facebook. I don't want to be banned from Instagram, so I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not one like that. If I get banned, I just get banned. I'll go somewhere else. But as long as they don't take my voice away from me, and heck, even if they did take my voice away from me, I still put up a symbol, a picture, and have under it. Can't talk right now, but I can post this. Or it reminds me of Bilal, Ezra Bilal, when the oppressors were trying to get him to deny that there's but one God, and they tied him up and put him on the hot desert floor, put a rock on his chest. And he was at the point he couldn't speak, but he held up one finger. So maybe one day you go to my Instagram or Facebook or whatever account, and there's no activity. When you hit my page, I'll have one finger. So that's what that is. So now, us coming together as a people, symbolized through the blood, symbolized through the blood, coagulating through the blood. Don't you know that there are efforts that don't want the blood to come together to form a new people? They don't want that to happen. Don't you realize that there are efforts even amongst us as Muslims that don't want us to come together in their ignorance? You know what I refer to them as? Aspirin. Aspirin. Why? They say, well, aspirin is a blood thinner. So if you have certain conditions, the doctor will tell you, don't take aspirin because it's a blood thinner. And if you use a blood thinner, the blood can't coagulate. And if the blood can't coagulate, come together. Do you know there are a lot of aspirin people amongst us? I'm going to start referring to that. Man, you're nothing but aspirin. Your job is to keep the blood from coming together, from congealing. You might not know what your role is, but you assume that kind of a role. We're on a mission. Every time you come amongst us talking about this stuff, that there's no race in Islam, you can't do that, Islam is universal. Every time you come amongst us with that stuff, because in your thinking, us trying to address the problems in our community is against Islam. And then you got aspirin that comes from other influences. Some more aspirin. Because you have influences that don't want to see African Americans come together. They don't want us to see us be unified. And this is beyond religion. This is just in general. They don't want to see us become unified. So you do all these things to stymie that and prevent that from happening. And it becomes equally unfortunate when those efforts are led by someone that looks like us, from our blood family. It becomes disappointing when you come across that. That you do the things that are based on the bidding of your boss, of your God, to keep us from coming together. Now, you see how important our role is as Muslims? As followers of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who studied the language and tafsir of Imam Rabbi Muhammad. See how important that is? Because that is the role of the imam too, working for the betterment of us as African Americans. And realize that we have a role in the universal scheme of things. But we can best achieve that role if we coagulate. If we come together. I know he wanted to see us coagulate. Because he realized that in that coagulation process was the beginning of a new life. He always said, we're a new people. He even strived to come up with a terminology for us other than the ones that were chosen, Negro, Black, whatever. He said, we're Bilalians. Let us use a term that in historical scheme of things has important meaning. Whatever you say about Bilal, one thing we do know, that Bilal followed one God, Ahad. And by the way, Imam Yusuf Ramadan's program coming on after this. This topic is the nature of our worship denies us being a slave to anything or anyone but the Creator. The nature of our worship. And I'm hoping that what we've talked about now was a good precursor to what the Imam Yusuf is going to talk about. But that's what the Bilal symbolizes to us. That's when he was on that desert floor being tortured. He held that one finger because he was saying to us, the nature of my worship denies me from being a slave to anything or anyone but the Creator. But I'm not going to get in that, you know, I'm sure Imam Yusuf is going to come from a very thoughtful, thought out position. But again, you know, when you're on topics like this, things just converge all over. So I'm hoping what I said, man, this is helpful to what you're going to say. And one more thing, and then I'll open it back up. I mean, it's always open. All you got to do is press 1 to get in the queue and see if anybody's done that. No. All you have to do is press 1 to get in the queue. You can make a comment. But one thing that Brother Henry, I think he said in the program before, when he was talking about the the mind of our people, the mind of our people, that he was saying that Allah has placed in us, as in all human beings, the ability, the same abilities, the same properties, the same things in all of us, the same thinking. But he put that in the creation in the creation. He put that in the creation. So we say that Allah taught Muhammad. As I said, it wasn't a classroom situation. It was just opening the prophet's mind to the created world. Opening his mind to the created world so he can see what Allah has done. Allah created this. No one else can take claim for creating the world that we were placed in. Allah created it. And Allah put in our hearts and our minds, the same as he put in the hearts and minds of the prophet, how the world works. And so as man observed the physical world, with his intellect, he became educated. The man talked about corn. When the intellect of man came alive, and man saw how there was corn on the ground and how that corn on the ground, the kernels on the ground, as they came and engaged with the earth, produced more kernels. Intellect, man said, well, if I plant the kernel in other areas, maybe some more corn would grow. And that'll be corn we can use the next time. That was the intellect of man that became engaged with the material world and showed man how he could thrive. But that only happened when the curiosity of man, when his intellect became alive and it became curious, and he started observing what he was, the world around him, that natural curiosity educated man. So if we want to see what we can do to thrive in this world, we have to use our natural curiosity that Allah gave us. And somehow or another, we've been disconnected from that natural curiosity. Somehow or another. We talked about last week how now the Yemenis in Fayetteville, I'm sure they've done all the other places, they wanted to go in another business, so now they've gone into the beauty supply business. Right? Because their intellect has been turned on to do that. And they open up in communities where the people's intellects has not been turned on to do that. Who've been cut out of the belief that they can do it for themselves. Why? Because the blood ain't congealing. We're in the midst of so many blood thinners that our blood can't congeal for the concerns of our own people. We got all this aspirin around us that's affecting us. So the blood can't congeal. I'm perceiving something in a good way. I'm hoping that I am. And you can feel free to let me know, but I'm hoping I am. Because once we can start operating that way, we're not intended to human beings operate. We're no different. I just refuse to believe that Allah didn't put in our makeup the ability to come to those same conclusions and to work in that same way. You know, there's some seeds that it might take years to germinate. But in that little seed, there seems to be dried out, that the wind can just blow anyway. In that little seed that might have been separated from its root, might be a tree or stalk or whatever, that if it's put in the right environment and it's watered and put amongst the right soil, after years it will germinate and grow a plant. That's the way we have to be. The whole world thinks that we are dead. The whole world has given up on us as a people, taking us for granted. But Allah in His mercy has not forsaken us. We just have to believe and reconnect and coagulate and grow. And what we will see, inshallah, is another creation, inshallah. So we got about 10 minutes left. Let me play another PSA, and we'll be right back after that. And if somebody want to come on and make a statement or whatever, just press 1 and come into the queue. And inshallah, we'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Afar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspiration. Believe in yourself and you will find a creative innovation that will ease your mind. Educate yourself. What path will you take? Will you be wise in the decisions you make? Set your standards high. Don't settle for less. You have the power to be the best. You will succeed. You have what it takes. Make your intentions and step out on faith. Knowledge is power. Wisdom supreme. Success inevitable with a well-balanced routine. Exercise, eat healthy. Keep your mind and body pure. You will be amazed at what you endure. Be assertive when it comes to your life, because no one else will do it just right. Unlock the door. You have the keys in yourself. You must believe. Join us again for Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, we're back. This is Adam Biar here on Monday Sense on AM 360 on this Thursday morning, January 18th. And we do have a caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Area code 914-434. 914-434.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam, my man, madam, Muhammad Sri.
Alhamdulillah. How you doing, Brother Muhammad?
I'm doing good. And all praise due to Allah. You're doing great this morning. Great Thursday morning. I call it a powerful Thursday. You know, we have those astronauts that you speak about among us. The man told us in 2003, that's just 15 years ago, that 80% of the imams did not support the leadership. He told us that. Many of us heard that recall. We were at the convention. 80% of the imams do not support my leadership.
So you're saying that they're being aspirins?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We are a new people. That 80% and those that they mentored, they rejected that. Now so we Belial. Gave a history of Belial. You just told us about Belial, one God. They check it. They call Belalion. Well, I think that the blood is coming together now. And I'm told of education, those four tracks. Education, business, culture, and government. I believe they are coming together now. I'm looking at the latest Muslim journal that I received, volume 8, number 24, December 23rd through 29th, 2023. Front page of the article. Something big has been happening. Embracing future generations, the Atlanta Masjid of Al-Islam caps 65-year celebration with $5 million fundraiser. We all should try to get this issue. Take perhaps two people, I would say, started and others followed. $5 million. Education, number one priority. I think we're getting where we get to go now. I guess what we need now to follow that $5 million. Now we should become financiers. Them said a long time ago, we should become financiers. Maybe it's the beginning. Always those are our opposers, enemy. They always said keep the two apart. Those with knowledge, don't give them finances. And those who have the finances, don't give them knowledge. I think two are coming together now. Those with knowledge and those with finances. I think as financiers now. And there are many people in this community that has money. And the people has money. This is a total example. Just people solid effort. So I take everyone to try to get this issue, read the whole issue. Thank you for giving this opportunity to say something, Madam.
Yes, sir. All right, thank you, Brother Muhammad, for continuing to listen in. I appreciate that. Thank you, Brother.
Sure. You're welcome.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
And Muhammad, made mention of the latest issue of the Muslim Journal. So get it and read that. The article's on the front page. And it talks about some important stuff, you know, being able to have $5 million pledged to continue the work. And let me also say this. We got about a couple minutes left. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed the Muslim community in Atlanta to have entrepreneurs and people in business and that can do that. All right. But one thing I can say is that in the there are many communities that we have where we don't have entrepreneurs like that. I know here in Fayetteville, we don't have entrepreneurs that can donate $500,000, $1 million, $200,000. All right, to do that. And I think we were talking to, on our conference call, we had Imam Yusuf Abdullah and his wife, Mahatham Abdullah, on the line. And they said, well, we don't have that either. I said, but one thing you do have is spirit to continue on. The spirit to continue on. So much so that you have a school that you have had open for 50 years. And you have made sacrifices to keep that school open. So for communities that don't have the millionaires that can donate that kind of money, what you can have is the spirit to continue on. You can still coagulate in your small area and come together in your small area until Allah blesses you with that kind of somebody in your community with that kind of finances. There are still things you can do, but don't give up. Don't give up. And be motivated by what's happening in Atlanta and ask in your door that Allah bless people to come into your community that are willing to make the sacrifices like that. But don't give up. Keep that spirit going. Don't give up. And do what you can to get rid of the aspirin that's around you. I know down here we have a few aspirins that we're trying to negate. Hey, don't take their aspirin because we don't want your blood to thin. So you got to get rid of the aspirin. All right, we're going to get ready to get out of here. We've had a very good hour. I'm hoping you can see from your perspective that it's good. But we're going to get out of here and get ready for our next program, A New Day for Al-Islam in America, with Imam Yusuf Ramadan. And his topic is, the nature of our worship denies us being a slave to anything or anyone but the Creator. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
As-salamu alaykum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That is, peace be unto you with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We'd like to welcome everyone to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and this is the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. So today's program is really focusing on some recent trends in the media, in the internet world, social media, etc., where there is a push to rewrite history. Or rewrite in many areas of history, American history, international history, you know, world history, etc. So our topic is the nature of our worship. The nature of our worship denies us being a slave to anything or anyone but the Creator. The nature of our worship. And I saw one of our young dynamic imams talking about addressing this. He was asked, you know, well, my sister also sent me something that I believe it was from TikTok or wherever, and they were saying how, you know, it was a knock against al-Islam, and really it was a knock against the whole situation of identifying with the Palestinian people, our Palestinian brothers and sisters, who are being victimized, you know. Now, this is a word that's come into vogue, that people say, don't be a victim. Don't be a victim. Now, but what they're doing is they're conflating the psychology that's necessary to bounce back from a negative situation in your life. That you don't identify with that in such a way. If you were hit by a car, if you were hit, you know, my wife was hit by a bus when she was a young girl going to school. Is she not an accident victim? They want to take away the whole notion of, you know, they call it victimhood. You have to come out of this victimhood mentality. Forget that victimhood mentality. Let it go. Let whatever past injustices have been done to you. You know, let that go. You're not a victim. So if you're not a victim, they're not a perpetrator. You see the psychology? If there's no victim, there's no perpetrator. So if she was hit by a bus, is she not an accident victim? Is she not entitled to compensation, which they grossly undercompensated her, but she was compensated, and she had... And she developed arthritis conditions in her knee, et cetera, that plagued her for the rest of her life. So they grossly undercompensated her. So this everything is all tied into this whole conversation about reparations, you know, which they want to tie to slavery. And it goes, certainly begins with that, but goes far beyond that. And the argument is, if you weren't a slave, you're not entitled to any reparations, any repair. Because you weren't personally a slave, you see? But they don't apply that to other people whose religion is Holocaustism. And they call it the Holocaust as if there wasn't any other. If there's no victim, there's no one to take accountability because nobody did anything to you. You're not a victim. So you see how Shaitan makes, as the Quran says, makes wrong fair seeming. So, of course, if you continue to be a victim, they say, if a man knocks you down, it's his fault. But if you don't get up, it's your fault. That's true. But that don't mean you didn't knock me down. So there's no accountability. So the other way for them that they're using now, the other trend within the media that they're using is your own African brothers and sisters sold you into slavery. That's a major thing. So in other words, why don't you get reparation from them? They sold you into slavery. So that brings us into the whole discussion of what is a slave. So they say, oh, well, you want to blame Christians. You want to blame the Christian white man. Even though we know that the name of the slave ship of the person who wrote the song now it's slipping my mind, a famous Christian song that they sing at funerals a lot, you know, a wretch like me. He was a slaver, a wretch like me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And one of the professors said, they should sing the song, but you shouldn't. It's become our favorite song. It is a beautiful song, but just don't apply to us in the way that it applied to him. The name of his ship was the Good Ship Jesus. Okay? And the reason why they undercounted the amount of Muslims that were brought here as slaves from West Africa and other places is because they didn't consider anyone who not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They considered you a heathen. And you were only qualified for slavery because they tied it into, wrongly tied it into understanding Bible verses. The Bible, the verses that speak about Noah and his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. You see how pertinent it is now? Shem, which is where they get the word Semite from. The Shemitic people or Semitic people, SH and S sound in Arabic and Hebrew, sometimes interchangeable. Seen, the letter seen, and sawed, you see? And sometimes they wrongly interchange those letters. But the point was that Noah, and this is not to be found in the Quran, only in the Bible, that he was drunk and naked, and his three sons saw him. And the self-righteous son looked at his father in disgust and said, ah. And the righteous son took a cover and covered up his father's nakedness. And the ones that they claimed to be our, that we are the descendants of, Ham, which is not true, that we are the Hamitic people, Ham laughed at his father, the simple-minded one. He laughed at his father's nakedness, and his father cursed him. Huh? And his father cursed him that his progeny would be cutters of wood and drawers of water. In other words, servants, slaves. So they took that interpretation, or they used that interpretation to justify their slavery. That you weren't, that's what, look, it's not our fault, it's in the Bible. So if you didn't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you wasn't saved, you were a heathen. If you were a Muslim or a follower of the traditional African religions, therefore you were eligible for slavery. So those numbers that they gave us were grossly underreported of the Muslims that were brought here. You see how I'm bringing this together? So now they're able to, so now slavery that the Africans practice, and the word slave comes from the word Slav, which is in Europe. So they say all people were made slaves of other people at one time in history. So why you keep pointing that out? Because the transatlantic slave trade is referred to by historians as the peculiar institution. Look it up. Peculiar means unlike anything else. Or unlike most other things. So now we want to listen to some a famous clip from Imam W.D. Muhammad that brings some of this into perspective, and that is The Superego, one of his more famous lectures.
If it wasn't for Muhammad, the last prophet, our race would overshadow the Jews and Hebrews. The Jewish and Hebrew scripture, prophet and scripture, our race history would overshadow it. The man talked about plight of people would no longer be the plight of the Hebrews. Would be the plight of the African American people or the black people. And it would be no more of their prophets that people would be talking about and looking at. It would be Frederick Douglass, Dr. Martin Luther King, and even Elijah Muhammad that the people would be looking at. And they'd say, here is a sign that God exists. Here is a sign that God is a God of justice. Hey, look. They brought our forefathers, or the forefathers of these people. See, we were saying, and others were saying, others. They brought the forefathers of these people to this land and completely separated them from all knowledge of their past. They cut them off from their land, from their life, from their cultural life, from their history and everything, and raised them as empty vessels.
Now, let's stop it right there. You can't compare any other slavery to ours, where they changed your name metaphorically and literally. From Kunta Kinte to Toby, to erase your memory, your cultural memory of your ways, of your language, of your history, and raise you as, there's no other slavery that can be compared to that, where they made it illegal for you to read or to be taught to read. So when your African brothers, and I don't doubt that some of them did, sold you into slavery, who did they sell you to? They sold you to the so-called white man. And they didn't bring you to England. They didn't bring you to the shores of the so-called New World, which wasn't new at all. It was an old world, but it was new to them. They didn't discover anything except people that were here already, much like the Eastern European Jews didn't discover Israel. There was people there when they got there, and they're still there. The so-called white men traveled, and they didn't travel on the QE2. It was a very dangerous trip, very dangerous, going and coming. So they came there. And they didn't say, hey, here's an idea. Have you ever thought about bringing slaves back with you? No, that might be, that sounds wonderful. So the man pointed out, first thing you have to understand, where did they find a buyer? The buyer came there. And as our late Imam Qasim Bakruddin said, Rahimullah Alayh, they might have sold us, but they didn't tell you how to treat us, did they? See, when those African tribes took one another into slavery, or it was more servitude if they did, one tribe defeated another. And it was tribalism that they were able to exploit that weakness, that lack of unity. Everybody wants to look back at Africa like it's such a romantic time. If we could just go back before the coming of the white man, then what? You were still warring with each other and disagreeing with one another, different languages, different customs, etc. That's what made you easy to exploit. See, we don't want to take accountability for that. Let's continue.
Animals with no human recollection at all. and God, the God of justice, came to them and quickened in the dead matter of the slave, a desire to be a man, until there was a Frederick Douglass lashing out, cutting into the heart and soul and conscience of the white rulers, until he calls them to repent. And they say, we can't continue this. The slave must be emancipated. Yes, it would be told in that light. It would be told in that context, in the context of Scripture. I read about the moaning and groaning of the Hebrews and how God heard their moaning and groaning. They were told to make straw and not even to use bricks. It's a hell of a thing to tell somebody to do. They were told to make bricks, but different mud, no saw. And you know you had to add a two together. That simple way of making bricks back there, you couldn't make it out. You had to put the mud, the straw in there to hold the mud together. So they were told that, you know, make it without straw, you know. But when I look at what we were told in this country from day one, even till now, I think our sad story deserves more attention than their sad story. For at least they were expecting a deliverer. Even had an idea of how that deliverer should look, what kind of ideas should have in his mind, what his interest should be, and they had a belief that he would be an opposition to Egypt, to oppress Egypt. Yeah. They had an idea of Moses before there was a Moses. We had no idea of a Frederick Douglass until there was a Frederick Douglass, because there was nothing for us.
Let's pause it right there. We have some important announcements to bring to your attention. You listen to New Day for Al-Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us. or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilize the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
And we are back. So we want to continue with a bit of this extraordinary lecture.
Very special people. Now, why am I telling you all this? So you can think yourself special with God. So you can think yourself special with God. Oh, yes. But we don't have a prophet in the prophetic scheme or in the classical scheme of prophets. Because that means something in the reality. We are yet even greater. We are greater people than the people. We are greater people than the people. Our prophets are going to like all of you know what we will do? Yeah. And it's not just to sober you up so you don't go crazy. I have not told you that so that you will have some arrogance, some high nose over other people. No. When God comes to a people, He comes to a people because divine wisdom and divine plan ordered that. Yes. He didn't come just because your sickness is worse.
Go ahead.
Your death was more pitiful. No, that's not the only reason. He looks at what affects His will. What interferes with his life, reaching his people, his creation, his dependence, us, humans. And then he responds and advances his plan. So why have I said this? Why have I pointed and compared our history, our suffering, and have said that a God of justice should come to us, should give us, if that God heard the suffering of other people and came to them. Why have I said that? I said that to say this. God has come to us. God has responded to us. God has chosen us. Chosen us for what? Chosen us to send the message again that's been sent by prophets over and over again, and especially by Muhammad, to those who would take and separate or isolate a group of people from the family of man for mistreatment, for servitude, etc. The message comes again that no matter how elaborate your scheme, no matter how treacherous your scheme, how deceitful your scheme,
go ahead,
how complex, how hard to decode your program that you may use to hold the people down and deny them admittance, the God of heaven and earth sees you long before you start your thing and already have a plan to undo your work before you even began your work.
Allahu Akbar. That's exactly what you see taking place in Palestine. Huh? They wrote those people off. They don't have nobody to advocate for them. They're weak and they're oppressed. There's nothing you can do about it. But even in the midst of all of that,
They're showing us their humanity, huh? And they're showing us their taqwa, their God consciousness, in the midst of your horrible, terrible, barbaric oppression. So they want, and they see that. So they're telling us, they're telling us that the Arab slave trade was just like the Christian slave trade, and worse, and even more brutal. But where's your proof? And the brother was giving us a great example of how Islam, you know, in the Quran, Islam, al-Islam is constantly giving incentive to free the slaves, to free slaves. But I want to go a little bit deeper and say, if you did this, free a slave. If you couldn't fast, free a slave. But a little bit deeper into it is that the very nature of this worship, the essential nature of our worship, negates slavery to anything or anyone other than the Creator. You see, they're not, they want to make them their slaves. They want to look at them as God. I'm the one that give you your water. I'm the one that give you your food, your electricity, your medicine. And they say, no, no. You're only Allah is God. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. There's no God but God. And Muhammad is his messenger. Huh? So we say what? Kulhu Allahu ahad, Allahu samad. Lam yalid, wa lam yalad, wa lam yakulhu, kufuwan ahad. Say he is Allah, the one and only. Allah the eternal, the absolute. He begetteth not, nor is he begotten. And there's nothing or no one like unto him. That's your religion. That's your way of life. So it's impossible. Impossible, even if I want to worship you, because you can't live up to that. Huh? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the guardian evolver, the cherisher, sustainer of all the world. All the praise, not none going to you. So there's no white man. We know that black man, the white man is not God. The black man ain't God. There's one brother that's engaging me. That's his Twitter handle. The black man is God. And he's telling me, now you don't want to worship the white man. You want to worship the black man. That's what the imam just said. Don't get bent out of shape and start, oh, you're not God. I must be. No, you still messed it up. There is no God but God. Don't make Jesus black or darken him like they used to have when I was a young boy coming up. They had, in black homes, they had blonde hair, blue-eyed Jesus. Now they want to make him more Semitic looking. Darken him with olive complexion and brown hair, black hair. Then the Afrocentric churches want to make him black. Jesus was black. Well, if he was, he still wasn't God. How about that? So he's questioning me. Well, tell me, what's the black man's birthday? It's a ridiculous question, but that's what he said. Give me a date and a time. And birthday? Hell, I don't even know when my grandfather was born. You want me to tell you the first black man's birthday? I said, I can't give you his birthday, but I can give you his death day. God don't die. Not the God we believe in. I don't care if you say he came back 3 days later. He's not subject to that. So how can I worship anything? And if you look at the logic, the deductive reasoning of Abraham, which they falsely claim to be a Jew, and Allah tells us in the Quran, why do you call Abraham a Jew or a Christian when there was no people designated as that at that time? He came before them. That's what they want to claim, that Abraham, Ibrahim. Huh? So when you tell a lie can't stand alone. A lie has to be supported by other lies. So the rabbi told me one time, a rabbi told me that it was Abraham, as we say in Arabic, Ibrahim. We know there was Ibrahim and Ismail, his oldest son, that built the Kaaba, the first house of worship that we turn towards in Mecca. And we don't worship the Kaaba. We worship Allah. We just turn in that direction. Allah says, whatever direction you find yourself, turn in that direction. But he also says that Allah is the Lord of the two east and the two west. So if you keep going around long enough, you go any direction you turn, you find Allah. Huh? Now, you're going to find any man on this planet that has to live and die and have ailments and maladies, huh? Sickness and health, sadness and happiness, huh? Fortunes rising and falling. You're going to make him God? Well, he opted out of that discussion with me quickly because he knew he couldn't sustain it because the logic was unassailable. His logic was none, really no logic to begin with. Allahu Akbar. Very, very excellent lecture. That was a piece of it, a clip from it. But the man touched on so many different areas. You see, when you have that logic, when you have the logic that there's la ilaha illallah, no God but God, that you have to say that to take your shahada. The first thing you have to say is la. No, you reject. La ilaha, no God, illa, except Allah, inherent in your religion that rejects you being a slave to anything, whether it's an idea, whether it's capitalism or communism, huh? Or any man or any woman, anything they come with is rejected off the top. You can't even be a Muslim until you reject that. You see, so it's deeper than just getting into the weeds of arguing. Well, yes, we know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in his last sermon, he said, there's no superiority. He said it. And there's no religion that you can find them in their religion, Judaism, Christianity, other that address it so directly. He said there's no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab. Or non-Arab over Arab. So you want to say the Arabs, maybe the Arabs did engage in slavery. I'm sure they did. But what has that got to do with Islam? Don't try to infer Islam accepts slavery because Arabs participated in a slave trade, even though it was not equal to the same transatlantic slave trade. Whatever cruelty they inflicted upon us, it was not the same. And it has zero to do with the religion of Al-Islam. So next, come with your next argument so I can knock that down like a bowling pin. There's no logic in that. I don't care what the Arabs did. Islam is not an Arab religion. Less than 20% of the Muslims in the world are Arabs. Less than 20%. So even in their coverage of Gaza, they want to talk about, the Muslims against the Jews. It's not the Muslims against the Jews. It's the Zionists against humanity. Not the Jews, not the Torah Jews, the true Torah Jews, who are called the people of the book in the Quran. They're the people of the book. We respect them. Prophet Muhammad was married to a Jewish woman. He was married to a Christian woman. Oh, but the Christian woman, she took her shahada. She did. The Jewish woman never did. So there's no compulsion in religion. She was Jewish when he married her. She was still Jewish when he died. He didn't force his religion upon her. That means he had respect for that way of life. And during the time of Rasulullah, when they were in Medina al-Munawwar, the city of light, where the prophet was the ruler. Whenever they would do something, they knew that their book was more severe than ours. When the Quran says, you should forgive and overlook. But the Torah says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So the Jews would come to him. He was the Qadi, he was the judge, and say, to give us your ruling. He would say, what does your book say? And they would say, No, what we judge us by the Quran. Why would I judge you by the Quran? You haven't accepted the Quran. So they can, you think these are old time things that don't mean anything in today's modern world. They mean everything. They mean everything. Okay? So we're going to pause for the cause again, briefly, and we will be right back. All right.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Mikhail Ukda, Assistant Imam of Masjid Al-Halim, New Medina, Mississippi, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
All right. Thank you, Brother Imam. And so now we will open up the telephones if you have a question or a comment that you would like to make. Press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you into the queue. All right. I don't see anyone right now. Press 1 on your phone if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment. All right. 1111111. I think I know who this is. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam Yusuf Ramadan.
Wa alaikum assalam, my sister. How are you?
This is Sister Amina from Atlanta area.
Yes, yes. How have you been?
Have not spoke with you in a long time. I'm glad to be able to talk with you this morning. I just wanted to let you know that I have heard most of the speech you gave by Imam Rahim Alayhi, Imam Muhammad, regarding all of this situations that we're in now. Regarding, you know, the people overseas and our connection to Al-Islam, in the beginning of this country since the 1300s, you know? So, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm just very happy to speak with you this morning, and that's a good beginning opening for people who don't know, or sometimes they want to try to rewrite history and pretend that, you know, there's no connection of us to Al-Islam. You know, they want to try to contextualize and pretend that slavery was the beginning, or rewrite that. You know, it's just ridiculous, just totally ridiculous what these people try to put out here. Basically, lies and propaganda. Lies and propaganda to pretend that we have no stake or no identity. We are the very fabric of this country. We have built it on the backs of our ancestors. Slave labor is what built this country. So nobody can say, oh, well, you don't have, you know, then they try to say, yes, your own people enslaved you. All people had a hand in the slave trade. All these people, everybody had a hand in it. But it was not the most, the brutal, inhumane, travesty that the American slave trade was. You know, no other people went through this. So I'm just happy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a good reminder.
Yeah.
All right. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And 949-689, state your name, where you calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam Ramadan. This is Brother Melvin calling out of the broader Atlanta area. And I just wanted to thank you really for that commentary on the victim dynamic, because I've definitely heard that argument often and didn't really have a sound response. But just the fact that you mentioned about if there's no victim, then there's no perpetrator. Simple as it is, it didn't cross my mind to think that way, and I appreciate it. We need those kinds of jewels, you know, to defend, you know, issues appropriately. So I just wanted to thank you for that, bro.
Yes, alhamdulillah. And you know, I understand the psychology of not being a victim. I'm going to keep it in my mind that I'm a victim if I was robbed or whatever the case may be, because it handicaps me from moving forward. I understand that. But to say that I'm not a victim when I was a victim, when I was victimized, means that the perpetrator gets off scot-free. And we're not gonna stand for that. That's the argument, you see. The argument is that get out of this, you know, like there's something wrong with you. You know, you got this victimhood mentality. No, you have this perpetratorhood mentality. That's the problem. And you want to continue to victimize people and not be held accountable. So press one on your phone if you'd like to come in and ask another question and make a comment. We have, please don't wait till the last minute, if you would. We always wait till the last minute, and then we run out of time. So, okay, 401-323. State your name, where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Angela Marie from North Carolina. From North Providence, Rhode Island. You know what? We want them to be held accountable, but I'm really wondering, can their nature really change? We want them to stop this and stop that, but they're not going to. I think it's just really in their nature to be that way. I don't think they're going to change, even if we force them or whatever. Only Allah knows. I think what Elijah Muhammad said about some of the people on earth is that, I don't know, I think maybe their nature might be the nature of Shaitan. I don't know. Only Allah knows. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Well, let me answer you like this, Sister Angela, and that is, if they didn't care, they would say, yes, we committing genocide. Yes, this is ethnic cleansing. Too bad. Now, their actions are saying that, but that's why they're defending themselves in the International Court of Justice. See, even the nature that Allah, the way Allah created the human being, is that you have to even pretend to be right. Even when you're wrong, you still have to pretend to be right. See, when you see people that take advantage of other people, they say, well, I only did that because she did this to me first. He did that first. That's why I'm doing it. You see, the human being has to have a cover, at least a moral veneer. You see, so that's how a lot. That's why they're saying we're the victims. We're the victims of genocide. Why, we're doing nothing but protecting ourselves. This is just self-defense. You see, so alhamdulillah, that's a good point. And 636-980, state your name and where you're calling from, please. Ready, man?
Yes. Yes, Kareem Hamid calling from St. Louis, Missouri. It has come to light now that the Nazi regime, they studied this country and their behavior toward Bilalian people. This country was the model for what they describe as the Holocaust that has come to light now. And Allah says that he created the creation for just ends, for justice. You know, this now it's becoming more obvious and more pronounced now. The island of Haiti, the success of overthrowing the French and getting them off of their backs, the French took the Haitians to court, and the slave owners, they sued. They wanted the value of the property that they had lost. The court decided on their side, and that's why Haiti is in the terrible economic position that it is in. They have to pay the enslavers. Also, this ridiculous idea of a two-state solution. Now, look, is that justice? But I have to give you half of what you stole from me? That is rewarding the criminal, the perpetrator. So I just wanted to bring up the idea of justice and how Allah pulls the cover off of the injustice and leave it up to the human being to create justice. I'll stop right there, my brother. Thank you, as always, my brother. What a wonderful, thoughtful broadcast this morning. Thank you, Imam Yusuf Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, wa alaikum salam. I just want to say, brother Imam, the slave owners, not just Haiti, here in America, too, they were compensated for after the Civil War for the loss of their quote-unquote property. So, 972-467, state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum, Ishmael family, Dallas, Texas. Yes, sir, very excellent conversation today. And I just wanted to follow with the imam. He reminded me that, you know, the Germans did get it from our, you know, they took from the United States on how to treat, the Holocaust victims. And there's a movie coming out called Origin this Friday, and it's from the book Cast.
What's the name of it?
And I think,
what's the name of the movie?
Origin.
What's the name of the movie?
Origin.
Origin, okay.
And it's directed by Ava DuVernay. And it's based on the book Cast, The Origins of Our Discontent. And I hope they talk about what the imam said about how they took from the United States on how to treat the, treat the Holocaust victims. And like I said, that movie comes out, so inshallah we can see it, and then maybe we can have a conversation about it. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. All right, we're coming near the end of the show. We got a few minutes left. We can take a couple of calls. If you have a question or a comment, press 1 on your phone. We'll bring you into the queue. Press 1 on your phone. We will bring you into the queue. If you have a question or a comment, all right, okay. 401-323, state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Angela Marie from North Providence, Rhode Island. You know what? The whole thing is that
They think by cutting your limbs off, bombing you, raping you, all that, it's supposed to put fear into the whole world. But you know what? Put on the full armor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put it on strong. Hold on tightly to the rope which Allah has extended to you. And you know what? All of this is bringing more people to come to Al-Islam and make it shahada. People are coming by tens of times, even the nation's mosque and mosque. 10 people at a time on Friday to make their shahada. Allahu Akbar. Allah is bringing people to Al-Islam, no matter what they do. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. She is correct. You know, she is definitely correct. Alhamdulillah. And that's Quran. It says when the, you know, when the people enter Allah's religion in crowds. I was just reading that this morning. You know, just read that this morning. You know, when comes the help of Allah in victory? When comes the help of Allah in victory? Fat. It means victory is also opening, and Fatiha. Fatiha is the opening. And you see the people entering into the religion of Allah in multitudes. It's the religion of Allah. Celebrate the praises of your Lord and pray for his forgiveness, for he is oft returning in grace and mercy. So we got a couple of minutes left. If you would like to ask a question or make a comment, a quick comment. We've got about 3 minutes left of air time that we can entertain your question or your comment. Press one on your phone, and we will bring you into the queue. We hope that you enjoyed this lively discussion. You know, they're constantly, you know, during the time of Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, they were constantly coming to the companions with these questions, trying to stop them, you know, trying to stop them with these what they thought were insurmountable questions, you know. And this is what they do. See, the human being, why there's so much back and forth, and why you see the Israelis on television 24/7, is getting to my point. They are trying to justify their wrongdoing. Even Shaitan, the Quran says, makes wrong fair seeming. You don't hear them saying, yeah, I'm doing wrong, and I'm going to keep doing wrong. No, they want to make it right. That's the nature. That's the way the law has created things. They have to have right on it because they know the power of right. There's moral power. That moral power is so strong. You don't have to have bombs and missiles and all that. You know, we couldn't fight against the brutality of the state. Some of us attempted to fight back, but really it was the power of our moral suasion that we were exposing them to the world, that here are these people just marching for their civil rights, to be able to eat at a lunch counter, to be able to vote like other so-called citizens. And that's the other thing. Our program last week, we had our brother, Jimmy Small, who came on, and you know, he's a Democrat, and he was defending his position, and I was just using my daughter just texted me, and she wants to hear the Imam's speech in its entirety. I'll have to look that up, but I do have the clip. You can go on YouTube and get Imam W.D. Muhammad, the super ego. You know, if you look that up, it might give you it from the beginning. That's just a clip of it. But, you know, these themes are very important. So they want to knock you back on your heels. They want to knock you back on your heels with these specious arguments. The arguments are specious, specious, right? They're not, a specious argument is one that sounds true, that sounds logical, but it's really not. See, so if they can get you to fall for that, If I can hit you in the car, if I can hit you, see, they have in New York State and maybe some other states as well, I'm sure another, they have what you call no fault, no fault laws. So, you know, a specialist argument is superficially plausible, but actually wrong. It's misleading in appearance, especially misleading, attractive, you see? So they have no fault. But then when you do the police report or you give the insurance report, they want to know, who's at fault. Why? Because the insurance companies, they sue each other. If their client was the one at fault, they have to pay. Now, your insurance company will pay you whether you were at fault or not. But then they recover their money. They get recompense from the other person who was at fault, from the other person's insurance company. So you've been listening to New Day of Father Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan. We thank all of you for listening, those who called in with a question or a comment. And we pray Allah that you have a blessed Jummah, that you continue to stay safe these maladies that's going around. And until next time, assalamu alaikum.